This was brought to you by Iris.xyz, a platform helping financial professionals become better in business and life through new media and new voices. Visit them and learn more at Iris.xyz.
Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing podcast. Today we have a guest who is going to talk a lot more about how he has successfully used what some of you might think is a limiting niche to truly not only grow his business, but grow a process and an organization that will allow you to kind of hitch your wagon to it and figure out how you can do what Michael does. It's Michael Grafe. He's a CFP, VP of Advisor Development at Christian Wealth Management. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
All right, man. Let's talk about your journey a little bit before we get into the nuts and bolts of where you have ended up. You've been in the industry for a while. Tell us about that.
Yeah, started in the industry back in 2005, and really was just going after my passion. Literally, I had quite a few friends and colleagues that just said, hey, you should be doing this for financial planning as a profession. And probably the third or fourth person to tell me that kind of was the brick hit me over the head, and went and applied at Fidelity Investments and got hired off the street, and basically 3 years later was a vice president, senior account executive, was blessed to be able to move right through the ranks of Fidelity. The chair had the corner office, the VP title, the assistant. Pretty much thought that was going to be the end-all be-all of where I'd be before everything kind of flipped on its head there.
Well, let's talk about it flipping on its head, because that's what has been the onus for this niche and this change. So tell us about that, please.
Certainly. Yeah. So I literally usually go back to the story of how I got into biblically responsible investing. And it really started with my manager at that point at Fidelity. I can remember very clearly the story of her saying to me was, you don't have to lie. You just can't tell the whole truth. And as a God-fearing Christian, that literally struck me as lying. So I had to literally take a step back and say, what am I actually doing? And in that process, I ended up leaving Fidelity. And within a month or so, I was introduced to the concept of biblically responsible investing. And you know, I share with people that I usually use the term outdoor cat, indoor cat. The term really means if you're an indoor cat, it really means that you are being fed leads, you're being fed a business, kind of like your Fidelity, Charles Schwab, E-Trade. You're sitting in a desk and clients are coming to you. Whereas an outdoor cat, you have to go out and hunt and bring in the dinner. So as I was presented the concept of biblically responsible investing, it came with a lot of fear and trepidation because I was an indoor cat. I wasn't used to going out and hunting, and I had made the commitment that I wasn't going to go after my old clients at Fidelity. I was leaving everything behind. But as I took that leap of faith and walked out into the process of biblically responsible investing, it literally was starting from zero. And that was back in 2011, but it literally just came from my passion to see, you know, it was presented to me what it looked like, what I was investing in, and it really struck a nerve for me. And so I had that passion then welled up in me as I got to teach other people how, what they're investing in. And, you know, if it doesn't align with their moral compass, we need to make some changes. So it was, you know, obviously that faith came through for me, the passion, and then obviously the mission of going out and telling others about it, which has kind of led from my personal book of business to now filtering it out to future advisors or the next generation of advisors doing this as kind of the mission going forward.
And you talk about the passion, faith, and mission aspect of this. And that is very important when it comes to having a true niche, because people can smell it. If you really don't have that passion, if it's not part of your personal and faith mission, they can smell it out. Is that a fair statement, or am I coming out of left field there?
Not only is it a fair statement, when you're able to walk the walk and talk the talk, from a Christian worldview, I usually tell people that I walked on water. And by that, they all know the story of Peter coming out of the boat to meet Jesus and how he was walking on water for a few moments. But I share with people, when I left Fidelity, you know, I had a high six-figure income, had the title, the whole thing. And so when I left that, you know, my first year coming out, I made $12,000. So to come from that, having four kids and a wife who stays home, it was purely a mission field. And I get pretty raw with people. I'll tell them, you know, I went from very nice lifestyle, the food stamps, before I came back out of this. But because I had that strong mission and faith behind it, I knew this is where I was supposed to be. Truthfully, I literally just had to get the fidelity out of me and really start presenting my faith and my passion through the process. And once I started doing that, it was a slower process, but it was a, I call it God's math. I mean, I went from making $12,000 my first year to $50,000 to $170,000, and it just really started to explode on itself. And it really was, a lot of it was referral based because people could see the passion, and then they were referring their friends and family, and it just went from there.
I think that there could be listeners right now who look at Christian wealth management, biblically responsible investing, and how you have niched yourself out. And there's some trepidation from on their part to wear their faith on their sleeve. How do you balance that?
That is, again, that's an excellent question. The truth be told is you just have to present it to all of your clients. There's going to be plenty. And again, we don't discriminate about who our clients are. And I've got clients from every walk of life, every lifestyle. And literally, we just present what our faith is and what our passion is. And then from there, you know, if it resonates with them, they end up saying yes. And I have clients, the most surprising thing to me, and when we're talking with the next generation, we always say, you're going to be surprised who gets this and who doesn't get it. Because you can literally be sitting in a room with a pastor, and they're like, doesn't mean much to me. But if I'm talking to someone who's an atheist, but they have a really strong feeling about, say, Monsanto or the modified foods.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, they're passionate, they're on the same page with us, even though that's not technically one of the screens we have. They just happen to be screening out along with that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. In fact, we had talked about that a little bit with socially responsible investing, that even if they don't necessarily hold the same core values as you do, the fact that you have core values and you have comfort talking about those core values, that people see that strength, that almost fearlessness of saying, this is who I am. I am very convicted. Even if you don't have the same convictions, most people like those convictions.
Absolutely. And they know by our passion, as I share it with them, that you're going to get an honest answer from me. So whether you decide that you want to go along on our mission and invest how we invest, whether it's for your personal health faith or whether it's just for the returns that we can get you, you know, we have a pretty good system. We call it Discover, Explore, Invest, where we walk clients through that process so they can actually visualize what it would look like for them. And to your point, for some, they're right on board with the mission because it aligns with what they're doing, and they're 100% behind us. And others are just saying, if it doesn't cost me anything, I'm going to go with you because of your passion and your honesty.
Right. Marketing. So you have talked about the fact that you had, and you said God's math, right? You just had this exponential increase in business. So as we were preparing, you had said that you are still consistently getting halfway decent amount of referrals. In fact, what some people get in a year, you get in a month. How have you... Tell me about how you've marketed this. It's just fascinating to me. I think people just don't get how to market a niche like this, and you have been really successful with it. Even if you're not actively doing the marketing right now because of this kind of transitional phase that you're going through with Christian Wealth Management, bringing up the next generation of advisor, tell me what you did before. And let's get granular here. Were you doing workshops, podcasts? Were you doing seminars? Were you doing public speaking events? Were you networking? Help me understand how you came from washing yourself from Fidelity to where you are right now.
Yeah, that was certainly a transition. You know, I usually tell people there's what I did and then there's what works. So do what works and don't recreate the wheel. As I shared with you earlier, is I literally had to get that fidelity out of me. So when I first started, I did have that mindset of it's all about the lowest cost. It's about the broad. I have to offer everything to every client. You know, even things that, you know, had been ingrained in me. Every major company out there has certain isms, you know, that they look at. So if you're at Vanguard, it's, you know, I'm going to have the lowest index fund investing. I literally had to get that out and say, now I'm an independent advisor. What does my client want? And can it work with what I'm offering? So to your point on the marketing side, I literally started by writing down every person I knew and started just saying, hey, I just want to share what I'm doing. I want to present what we call an info pack. which is literally shares a bit about the story of why we're passionate about what we're doing. So it's literally, here's a folder. It's got a couple flyers in it. We present it in a way where it's, I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm not saying come along board with me. I just want you to see what we're doing. And, you know, if you've got any positive feedback or things that you can tell me about. So it's really selling the, yes, you can drop off the packet and nothing else. And through that conversation, it walks them through the beginning point of that Discover, Explore, Invest, which is, what do you currently own and what are they investing in? And does that matter to you? And again, of course, for some, no, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't make money or not. But others will start to ask questions. And as they see the flyer we have that's got little red dots on certain moral aspects, be it abortion or pornography or whatever it happens to be that is your hot button, they'll start asking follow-up questions. Well, what does it mean that AT&T profits off pornography? So now I get to have a conversation of, well, you know, AT&T, I think of a phone company, but they also have a division that's a cable division, which means that they sell online pornography or cable pornography on pay-per-view. And that's quite a bit of their profits. So as a Christian, I have to take a look and say, if I own that stock, I am profiting off of that sin, and is that okay? And for some, it's just, it's AT&T, it's just a stock. I don't have any connection to it. Others take that deeper dive and say, wait a minute, if I own it, I own it. And that means I am profiting off of that. So from going to have those one-on-one conversations, it also led to talking to church leaders that I knew or pastors that I knew and, you know, presenting. I got into the Dave Ramsey network for a bit of time whereby I would literally reach out to churches that were holding one of his classes and just say, hey, I want to give my services and offer what we do. There's no obligation, no cost. It is purely 100% ministry. And it got me into, you know, a good 10 to 12 churches in the area. And that literally allowed me to present and allowed clients to sign up. And specifically on that marketing, we'd have a sign-up sheet. We'd offer a free consultation. We spent $5 on a Dave Ramsey book and said, if you come to a meeting, we'll give you this free book that you can, you know, continue your journey on getting out of debt and starting to save. But again, it was that was the slow process. When I told you earlier, do what works. What really works is those info packs, literally reaching out to, you know, make a list of 400 names and reach out to 10 to 20 a week until you go through the entire list. And I did that, but I did it kind of haphazardly. I really should have just focused on solely doing that, because that is really where the business starts to turn, is those one-on-one meetings.
And with Christian Wealth Management, tell us a little bit about what that is, and do you get that info pack and that training through that organization?
Yes, you do. So Christian Wealth Management literally just sort of blossomed out of our own individual businesses. So literally four of us got together initially and said, we are making a commitment to only do biblically responsible investing. So that, and what we mean by that is, where there is an option for BRI, we are going to present it. So to make that granular, if a client, as an example, had a 401k and there was no option, we wouldn't necessarily tell them not to invest in that 401k unless it really was passionate for them that they couldn't do that. But whenever it was possible, we would present it. And what we started to figure out is, as individual advisors, you know, we may get somewhere between, you know, an average advisor, 100, 200 clients. If you're a stellar advisor, you may have up to even 500 relationships. But that really limited us to us four, maybe 2,000 people. So the thought process came, well, what if we can take what we've learned and start expanding that out? And so we created Christian Wealth Management as really kind of a fraternity for advisors looking to explore how they can put their biblical faith into practice. So from that point, Christian Wealth Management was born, and it has grown now to be a agnostic platform. So any advisor from any broker-dealer can use it. And we do have the Discover, Explore, Invest training elements through it. We do conference calls. The website will actually have articles and other pieces inside of it that, you know, could be shared or front-facing to a client, because it doesn't have any regulatory information on it, and anyone can literally use it. So now we are training out those new advisors for the next generation, you know, how they can sell their own passion. You know, it's already starting with their faith. Their faith will have most likely led them to this site because they probably have Googled or gone on a search engine and looked for faith-based investing or Christian advisor or something of that nature. They'll find Christian Wealth Management typically through that organic system, organic lead. They'll call out, and then we tell them about our passion, how we went from, you know, as I shared with you, I went from zero. So having a really nice investment job, having all those clients and walking away from that, walking away from other job offers that I had, to literally walk out through the passion of doing biblically responsible investing, and then how they can utilize the discover, explore process to put it into their own practice, you know, whether it means they're going to do what we did, which is walk away from all your clients, or just start to present it on one-offs on your clients one at a time, and see the transition. You know, not everyone has to have our, you know, using the analogy of the, are you the pig or the chicken? You don't have to kill your current book of business and say, I'm walking away from that completely and solely doing biblically responsible investing. We think you'll find you will as you start to tell the story, but we also think that as you do it, you're going to get more of your client's wallet, as well as they're going to start referring more people to you. So that's kind of where we're at now with Christian Wealth Management. And it has, you know, it's literally grown to now be across the country. We're, I think, 70 or so members, and it continues to spread.
Well, I hope our listeners listening to the podcast that we can increase that. But from stop, I'm going to rewind you a little bit. From stop to where you are now, how long did it take for you going out and saying your new brand message, this thing that is passion, faith, and mission? How long did it take before it really started gathering steam and you had a viable business model?
So as I shared with you, I probably did it the wrong way first. So for me, I would say it took about a year and a half before it really started to take off. Again, that first year was literally getting the fidelity out of me, getting that mindset out of me, and really just focusing on that, you know, explaining my passion, making it so I didn't have to make excuses for it. I think that's probably the hardest thing for an advisor, is they always want to fall back on what they know. And so whatever that bias is they've had, you know, so when I first started, the biblical responsible mutual funds were small and expensive and didn't have the best track record. But that's what I sold. And because I sold it on passion, to this day, I want to say it's now been 7 years, and I've got $6-7 million in what I would call those average return, high fee mutual funds. And I've lost 3 clients total from those funds. And most of them will go, if they want to make a change, or moving to something else now, some other form of investment that's still biblically clean. But to your question, so about the year and a half mark, I really started to walk in that this is what I am doing, and it's based on my faith and passion, and not about, you know, am I getting you the best returns, or am I getting you the, am I using, you know, financial plan lingo, or am I really leaning on my CFP credential? And just saying, no, all that plays into how I'm going to figure out a portfolio for you, but it's really about passion, the faith, and the mission. And by the way, your returns are going to be the same or better as well, but I don't have to necessarily illustrate it on a Morningstar chart of how many stars this fund has compared to, you know, an American fund or something else.
Mm-hmm. I want our audience to just take pause for a moment and think about the difference between being called to do something and having this truly be part of your faith and your passion and your mission. And it still took Michael 18 months before he started really feeling major traction. Now, as he said, you know, he knows what he did wrong, and that's probably why he's been so successful, is because he learned from his mistakes. And through the program at Christian Wealth Management, they have filtered out some of those missteps. But still, when you really embark on a new marketing direction, especially when it's something that's even close to your heart, it's not an overnight success, and you do need to put in the time, you do need to put in the practice, you do need to put in the study to make sure that you're doing everything right. I have a side note question for you, and it's because you just learned, as you just said, a term that really kind of piqued my interest. Michael, is there any company that's 100% clean? I guess I'm coming from a point of ignorance, man. I honestly don't know, but help me with that.
Certainly. And if I can sidetrack on that for just a second, to your point on time horizon, it's also important to know that I came from zero. So I literally had no clients when I started this journey. Mm-hmm. And as for an advisor that's out there that has an existing book of business, you're not necessarily doing what we did, which is walk away from everything and start fresh. But even when we have an advisor that's brand new or coming with zero, now it typically takes about 9 months before they really start seeing the traction. Hmm. And again, coming from zero, of course, in our business, you really need to build up over time before those residual income really starts to take effect.
Yep.
But having said that, now going to your clean question, and I have to be careful sometimes because for me, it's clean versus dirty, because it's an easy lingo to use with clientele. But when we use that lingo, we will say some companies are clean on purpose. So you take a Smucker's jam. They are utilizing, and they come from a Seventh-day Adventist background or the ownership. So they've made decisions to purposefully look to use their corporate dollars and use their structure from a biblical perspective. There are also plenty of companies out there, and the vast majority, that are what we call clean on accident. Either one, they're so small they aren't, they're in an industry of, say, making coffee. So that's probably an easy one to pick on because Starbucks is so vocal about things that they support. So if I'm talking with a client, I'm saying if you bought Starbucks versus, and again, I'll use Pete's as the counterpoint. Almost any company that you give me, I can give you a counter company. Starbucks has been very clear about their support for LGBTQ activism or Planned Parenthood, or if it's not something we screen, but they've been very clear on their non-support of the Second Amendment. So those are areas that may pop up. Usually if it's a violation in one thing, it'll violate other areas as well. So that's why, as I brought to you earlier, companies like Monsanto might show up, not because GMO is one of the screens we use, but because if they're doing something like GMOs, they probably are also hitting another violation elsewhere. So what we do is use screening software that literally goes through and looks through their tax returns. It looks through things they've given as donations. So we can go through and say, have they given money to an organization that may support abortion? Do they have a product line? You know, Johnson & Johnson. I think of the family company. I have five kids now. I think of baby shampoo. But they also have a division that makes products that are solely used in abortion. And again, you probably hear it come out from me. One of my passions is the pro-life side. So when I'm talking with clients about biblically responsible investing, abortion is usually something that comes out from the forefront. For other clients or for other individuals, it may be pornography, it may be alcoholism or tobacco or slavery. There's lots of areas that kind of become the hot button. And one of the things we do in our Discover, Explore, Invest is we're literally probing our clients to see, sharing a little bit about our passion, but trying to find out what their passion is as well. And then we just stick on that hot button. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter that my hot button's abortion and theirs might be homelessness. If theirs is homelessness, well, is it okay if you bought a company that is actively seeking to discriminate against people who don't have a home? And if we can show that to you, you know, literally that ends up being what motivates them or drives them to say, even though they may not agree with all the things we do, that one thing will be the thing that brings all their business with them.
And I found that really fascinating when we were talking to the socially responsible investing people too. That was one of their process. They have a somewhat of a similar process, especially on the discovery side, to tease out those very strong and firmly held beliefs, and then find if there is a way that they can align their investment management strategy with those closely held beliefs. Michael, this is fascinating to me, and you're such an interesting case study because you started from zero, right? You left everybody behind and started fresh, and you've grown a great book of business. You're running a very supportive, I like that you called it a fraternity, an organization that supports the other members, and I like that you are sticking very, very close to this niche, to the point where people feel it, they sense it, they know it, they can see it in your eyes. And when we talk about niche marketing here, that is the apex, right? You're at the top of the mountain looking around and saying, you know, hey, I've niched this out the right way. It's right for me. It's right for my clients. It's right in my heart. It's right in my passion. It's right in my faith. And it's part of my mission. For those of you out there who don't have that, dig deep, find out where you are. It might not be the way that Michael does it. It might not be the socially responsible investing way. But if you can find something that you can hear it in his voice. Michael, I can hear it in your voice, man. This is something he's wicked passionate about. You need to find that passion. You need to tap into that passion. And not only can you change your clients and change your business, but potentially you can change the world. All right, Michael, any closing thoughts? Anything else that you want to tell everybody before we sign off for today?
No, I mean, if they want to get a little more information, certainly feel free to check out ChristianWealthManagement.com. I think it's one of the most important things that we talk about is as we're building that next generation, you know, we've seen it done 100 different ways. We're not trying to profit off of your book of business. We're trying to train, teach, and equip you to do it because it's about the mission. We really want this to spread out across the country because for us, whether you decide to work with Christian Wealth Management or any other firm or just do biblically responsible investing on your own, that's a win for us. So again, it is my passion, but for a client that or a potential listener out there, go to ChristianWealthManagement.com, check out what's on the website and see if it resonates with you. And feel free to give us a call, and we'll be happy to have a discussion with you.
Well, Michael, thank you so much for being on our podcast today and sharing your wisdom.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it, Matt.
All right. So this was Michael Grafe. He's a CFP and a VP of Advisor Development at Christian Wealth Management, and he is also a practicing financial advisor. We want to thank everybody for listening today. If this podcast resonated with you, or you know somebody that this podcast would resonate with, please make sure that you share the podcast with your friends and family. For everybody at Christian Wealth Management and everybody at Top Advisor Marketing, we really appreciate your listening, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best-kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.